This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us the first day after Easter. It's also April Fool's Day, Monday, April the 1st. And we got a lot going on today, so we are glad you are with us. In a few minutes, Eric Smith of the Cato Institute is going to join us. We are going to talk about his recent testimony before a House committee on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how it is really a mission to perpetuate racism, in his opinion. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And huge pushback on the Biden administration's decision to leave Transgender Day on Easter Sunday. What were they thinking? Was it a legitimate attempt to attack Christians, do you think? We are going to talk about it. And Robert Kennedy Jr., is he a thorn in the side of both Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Can he be a spoiler? Who does he hurt more, Republicans or Democrats? We are going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 countries with the highest suicide rates. Indeed, that'll be towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Men, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, it is Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. A great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. If you've got any kind of a need that has to do with a tree, whether it's enhancement of trees, removal of trees, stump grinding, you name it, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, what was the White House thinking? The White House's proclamation of Transgender Day of Visibility. First of all, what the heck is Transgender Day of Visibility?
Actually, I was going to ask you when you walked in how your transgender transparency day went yesterday.
Yes, it went very well. It was very transparent. Why would they put this or allow it to stay on Easter Sunday? They must have looked at the calendar at some point. It comes on March 31st every year, apparently. I didn't even know there was such a day, by the way, but apparently it's been around for about 6 or 7 years. So, of course, a huge backlash. It's the most holy holiday for Christians, Easter is. A White House statement said this: on Transgender Day of Visibility, we honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union, where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives. Today, we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved, you are heard, you are understood, you belong, you are America. And my entire administration and I have your back. What does that mean, by the way? to a transgender. I got your back. What does that mean?
Means I want your votes.
I think that's about it.
That's all it is.
Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. Well, didn't they think that somehow there are going to be a few people that would be offended by that are celebrating Easter? Why are you putting it on the same day? Are you trying to force the issue? Are you trying to make Christians look funny, look bad? The Trump campaign has called on the Biden administration to apologize for the proclamation. Other conservatives ripped the decision. They called it an attack on Christianity. Apparently, Transgender Day was created by activists over 10 years ago, and March 31st is the day it's to be celebrated. Well, move it one day, you know, on Easter. You can do that, can't you?
I would ask.
What was the point?
I would ask Mr. Biden, why do you and I have to celebrate it?
Yeah.
Why does it have to come up?
I don't even know how to celebrate it.
I don't want to celebrate it.
Do I have to put on a skirt?
Listen, when I go do things out on my own, you don't celebrate it, do you? Nobody else does.
Well, you don't know. Maybe I celebrate it once in a while for you. I'm always thinking
of it. But you keep it quiet.
I got your back,
you know. But you keep it quiet.
Yes. Another thing. They had an Easter egg, you know, the Easter egg roll on the wire. Did you know that they banned any kind of religious decorations on the Easter eggs? Did you know that?
They did what now?
They banned any Easter eggs that had any religious connotation. If you put a cross.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. What? Why? Well, I mean, it's Easter. I mean, how dare you even think about the fact that Easter has to do with the resurrection of Jesus? Is that offensive to people?
Wasn't it last year or a year before that the transgender pulled his shirt off? Remember that?
I'm trying to.
Remember that?
I don't want to remember.
Yeah, right on the camera?
A transgender pulled his shirt off.
Yeah, or...
Oh, was he at the White House
at
the time?
Yes, at the White House. Remember that?
Kind of.
Got to Google that on the
break there.
Yeah,
I kind
of
do remember that. Yeah. In the meantime, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. has called Joe Biden a cafeteria Catholic. You know what he means by that?
I'd call him an ex-president, to tell you the truth.
He calls him a cafeteria Catholic in that Biden picks and chooses which rules he'll follow and which rules he won't. This is Cardinal Wilton Gregory, who took a swipe at Biden's faith yesterday, as I say, calling him a cafeteria Catholic, for picking and choosing parts of the faith while ignoring or even contradicting other aspects. He's the Archbishop, Gregory, the Archbishop of D.C. He was on Face the Nation, and he was asked by one of the panelists, I guess, whether he believes Biden's long-touted Catholic roots will resonate with American Catholics in the upcoming election. So Gregory said, I would say that he's very sincere about his faith, but like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts. He said, there's a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging. That's kind of a good answer. I mean, we know how he stands on abortion, right? Biden has repeatedly called himself a devout Catholic who attends church regularly. The White House has also used that term to describe Biden. He's not a devout Catholic. I mean, if you believe and push abortion, it's hard to be saying that you're a Catholic. Catholics believe that that's killing unborn children is wrong.
You know, if I were Biden, I'd be careful because as you get older, I'm not sure your faith and your religion is one you want to mess with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do. A Pew Research poll released in February found that a large majority of Americans not convinced Biden's presentation of himself as a devout Catholic, just 13%. That's 13% of Americans thought Biden was very religious. Oh, Lord. All right. Excuse me. Well, let us do this. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Eric Smith of the Cato Institute is going to be with us. We're going to talk about his recent testimony before a House committee on how diversity, equity, and inclusion is, in reality, a mission to perpetuate racism.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on April the 1st. Boy, we're rolling through this year, are we not? Delighted to have Eric Smith join us. He is a research fellow at the Great Cato Institute, and he has testified recently before a House subcommittee on higher education and workforce development about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, among other things. And Eric said that the DEI concept is built upon a foundation whose actually very mission is to perpetuate racism rather than to fight it. Eric, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you very much for coming on. So let's talk a little bit about this. First of all, you were called before the subcommittee. Was it specifically to talk about DEI?
Yes, DEI on college campuses specifically.
Okay, fair enough. And so you had prepared remarks, and you talked about the fact that DEI could stand for divisive, excessive, ineffective. The real impact.
Yeah, pretty much.
The real impact. Would you kind of explain a little bit about what your thinking is on this?
Well, what I focus on, there are a lot of problems with DEI, first thing. But what I tried to focus on was the idea that, you know, it's a kind of prescriptive racism going on. And what I mean by that is, if you're a person of color, there's a certain way you're supposed to act. And that act typically involves victimhood. It involves, you know, a negative outlook on America. It involves hopelessness, learned helplessness. And if you don't embrace those things, there's something wrong with you as a black person or a Latino person or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
To be real is to be miserable.
That's a pretty sad way of going through life, is it not? And yet, you make some sense on that. The idea of kind of focusing the light on a person's ethnicity or race or, you know, whatever it is, rather than the concept of treating all of us, I don't know, as individuals, without trying to, you know, I don't know, what's the word, trying to make us look different than what we are. I don't know, I'm probably not explaining that very well.
Well, I can tell you sincerely that, individualism is one of my favorite words, right? Because mainly because if you apply individualism to any DEI initiative, it falls apart.
Yes.
It's kryptonite to DEI, because DEI is all about group consciousness. You're not an individual. You're a member of a group, right? And that's that. That's why they hate the concept of colorblindness, right? Because if you're colorblind, you let that person tell you who he is, right? You don't have a stereotype projected onto that person to know who that person is, mm-hmm. right? So there you go.
Yeah. In fact, you said, you told the committee that contemporary DEI is not an extension of the civil rights movement. It, in actuality, it's undergirded by a quasi-Marxist ideology called critical social justice. But this is the thing. You're so right about this. When you start to group people, what are you doing? You're actually grouping. You're actually pitting one group against another. If you put somebody into any category, you know, you group them as women, then apparently, you know, this has to be opposed by men. If you're black, it's those that are white or non-black. If you're Catholic, it's those that are non-Catholic. If you're gay, it's those that are straight. So you got to pit one group against another. And like you say, this is kind of, and of course, a house divided against itself, as good old Abe Lincoln said, will not stand very long.
Right. And unfortunately, I think that's the point for a lot of people. Because it's a quasi-Marxist ideology, there's an idea of slowly but surely taking down capitalism or any kind of Western civilized nation or region or whatever you want to say. Sadly, I think that's kind of the Trojan horse goal of this whole thing, right? Critical social justice, the primary tenet of critical social justice is this. The question isn't, did something racism happen? It's how did it manifest in that situation? So everything's already where it exists. You just got to find it. You got to find the racism, right? Mm-hmm. And if racism's everywhere, then it's a lot easier to dismantle institutions, right? In the name of social justice, we're going to dismantle this because it's inherently racist. That's a red herring, right? That's an excuse. They're using quote unquote black misery for their own purposes, and the black people they're trying to help don't even realize it.
Indeed, what is going on these campuses? And it's been there for a while. It seems to me it's just maybe manifesting itself even more. In fact, I think you even tell a personal story about it yourself about how. If you don't say or write things in a certain way and you happen to be black, you're sort of going against what you should be doing rather than trying to be an individual. Could you explain that a little bit more, Eric?
Yes. The idea is that if you're black, you have a particular home dialect, as if they know every individual black person on a college campus. And if you don't want to write in that black vernacular, for example, then it's a sign that you are ashamed to be black or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
Those students are there. Those students are in that class to learn standard English because it's a nice tool to have in society, right? The ability to write in standard English. You know, it might come in handy one day.
It does help once in a while, yes.
Right. That's why they're there, right? So if they refuse to speak in a dialect that they might not even speak in because they are individuals, they are pathologized for that.
And they're ostracized.
They're not really black.
And yes. they can be ostracized. That's the other thing. You know, it's funny. A long time ago when I was in college, you know, you wanted to be, I don't know, you were a little bit intimidated. Everything was sort of new to you. You were there. So you wanted to grab onto things, you know, and you wanted to, I don't know, you didn't want to stick out in a way. You wanted to be one of the people, you know. But when the teachers start to warn you about being an individual, and they make it seem like it's wrong, then I think you're really pushing down on these kids that need to, I don't know, to feel comfortable about their individuality.
Yes, and for your own political purposes, it's not to help the students at all. And I've learned that all too clearly in the past few years. There's a leader in my field who actually said that black kids who don't want to write in Ebonics or Black English, what have you, are being, quote, selfish and immature, right? Because they're perpetuating white ways of knowing. That's where we are.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where college campuses are right now.
That is so scary.
It sure is.
And it, by the way, we're talking again with Eric Smith. He is a research fellow at the great Cato Institute. And we're talking about his testimony before a House subcommittee in early March. So they called you in at that time to kind of, because you're a black man, to give your sense as an individual. I mean, how did that all work out?
Well, I gave my testimony, pretty much everything I told you this morning.
Yeah.
And after that, that was pretty much it. The Democrats pretended I didn't say anything.
I was going to ask you what they were saying. Yes.
Right. And they kept going as if, pushing back against DEI was so wrong and in itself racist, ignoring everything that I had just said as a black man, you know? Because basically my existence is kryptonite.
There you go. They can't go after you because you're a black man. They have to be very careful. If you were a white man or a non-black, then they could go after you and attack you. But because you're coming from an experience of your own, you know, they got to be they got to walk on eggshells a little bit. Eric, my colleague Ed Davis would like to ask you a question, if you don't mind.
Actually, Eric, it's just a comment that I'm thinking. Not far behind the group that plays the race card is right behind them is the ones playing the homophobic card.
Oh, okay, yeah, I guess.
I mean, well, they're using the same excuses.
Well, sure.
If you don't do it this way, then you're a homophobe.
Yeah, I guess the general term is prescriptive essentialism, right? There's an essence to every kind of group, and if you don't abide by it.
How do you spell that?
I can text it to you later if you want.
You know, it takes a lot of guts for you to stand, whatever, in front of that committee and express yourself like you did. But I'll tell you what, everybody that listens to you is going to have actual deep down really respect for your integrity and for your individualism.
Thanks. I hope so.
Absolutely they do. Everybody knows that that they're trying to force people into these different little groups and to keep them down and to keep them from wanting to express themselves. And then you've connected this to a Marxist ideology to some extent?
Yes, yes. Critical social justice comes out of cultural Marxism. And basically what it does is substitute the proletariat bourgeois division with white-black or white-non-white, right? And they push that. For the purposes of trying to, wrest power from the people who they think are quote-unquote privileged, right? As a black person, I am underprivileged to every white person I meet, although that white person could be dirt poor, right? Somehow that white person has more power than I do, right? This narrative makes no sense, but if they can convince people to embrace it, they can convince people to, eventually dismantle Western civilization.
Indeed. I also appreciate you how you concluded your prepared testimony. You said, I don't know if you've all noticed yet, but I'm black, and I'm against this DEI. Why? Because I really like being black. And this ideology is infantilizing, if I'm pronouncing it right.
Yes.
It is anti-intellectual, and since I am a mature intellectual person, it does not align with me. I am too good for contemporary DEI, and so are many others. Good for you.
Thank you.
I love it.
I got to tell you, in listening to Eric, I couldn't tell he was black.
No, he sounds intelligent. He just sounds like an intelligent man.
In the future, when you're doing you're doing your testimony, we'll hide you behind a curtain, and the first ones that calls you a white supremacist, we'll drop the curtain.
We'll pull the curtain up.
I got news for you. They're looking right at me, and they still call me a white supremacist.
I tell you. You know, it takes real courage, integrity, and fortitude these days to be a black man that believes in individualism, can have some conservative ideology, because it's just because you want to be who you really are, and you're not afraid to say that. I really respect that, Eric, and I really appreciate your coming on. Good luck to you, and keep up your good work.
Thank you. I will try.
All right, sir. Eric Smith of the great Cato Institute.
Great interview.
Yeah.
Great interview.
I like this guy. He just, I don't know. He just says the right things, you know? All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Robert Kennedy Jr., is he a spoiler in the presidential race? And who does he hurt more, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? We're going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. April the 1st. Freedom Works, thank you so very much for finding time to be with us this morning. So, it was a rough week for the No Labels group, the so-called centrist group. It's been working for over a year towards launching a third-party presidential ticket. They haven't found anybody who wants to be their candidate. Hours after former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said he would not join them, their almost well-known champion passed away, Joe Lieberman, the 2000 Democratic vice presidential nominee and the 2004 presidential candidate, who became an independent, by the way, and was a No Labels founding co-chairman. Unfortunately, he passed away, as most of you know, after complications from a fall. He had been a tireless defender of a third-party ticket. Privately, he was a key player, apparently, in the No Labels recruitment effort. So they're looking around. They wanted to get the other guy from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, and Joe Manchin said no thanks as well. So they, I wonder if they're going to find anybody. They went after Nikki Haley, too. Nikki said, no, I'm not going to leave the Republican Party. In the meantime, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is he going to hurt more? Democrats and Republicans are scrambling to define Kennedy's independent presidential bid and ascribe his views to the other side before he is able to really introduce himself to the electorate. Now, Donald Trump went on his Truth Social, and he called Kennedy, quote, the most radical left candidate in the race by far. Meantime, the Democratic National Committee claimed Kennedy is a Trump stalking horse in the election. So, you know, which is it? And is he going to have any effect? And if he does have an effect, who does he hurt more? Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Well, we've got our two Ceresi brothers, Andrew and Angelo, on the line. We can talk to them a little bit about it. Gentlemen, do you think that Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to make much of a difference one way or the other? Let me start with you, Angelo. What do you think?
Well, what do they say? He's polling like almost 15% or something like that.
He could be. I'm going to look here and see. But, you know, everybody knows who he is, right, because of his name?
Right. And he's also, you know, been around. He's been one of these lawyers going after, like, the climate and stuff like that. And I think from the climate, but other stuff, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he might be pulling some Republicans who won't vote for Trump. But Trump has his base.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, Trump has to get the, he has to get a lot of the independents, you know.
Yes. Now, the thing is, what is he really? Well, he was big on not taking the vaccine for COVID, right? And he was somewhat, he offended a lot of Democrats, apparently, when he took that stance. But other than that, I think he tends to be very, very liberal. Do you not think that? What about you, Andrew? Do you think he tends to be a liberal?
Well, Paul, first of all, he's not going to hurt Trump at all. The people that are following Trump are going to vote for him no matter, but he's going to hurt Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I got to tell you, Paul?
What's that?
My barber shop has been padlocked because the landlord put a thing on my door that I cannot be a Trump shop no more, and I can't promote my conservatism.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I mean, I can't believe it.
They put a padlock on your door?
They put a padlock on my door, and it said I can no longer be a conservative barbershop. If I turn liberal, I can open up again.
Come on.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I'm in shock.
I bet you're in shock.
I don't know what I'm going to do now. What, I got to go on unemployment or what?
I'll call an attorney.
You think?
Well, I'll tell you what.
How about the First Amendment?
I can't believe that he can do that to you.
I can't see Angelo right now, but I can see Paul. And both of you definitely have a hook hanging out of your mouth.
Because you went hook, line,
and sinker on that one.
Andrew, you pulled off a great one.
Because let me tell you,
Thank you, if
that were true, that would have been the lead story. Not anything about Trump.
It would have been. Had I known that, and it was true, that's all we would have been talking about on this show. I think that was great. Andrew, that was a good one. My goodness.
I had to do it, Paul. I couldn't help it. I was led into it.
Oh, you were great.
Hey, you know, I got something to talk to you about, though. I don't know if you've been watching Fox News.
But you know the
little black box that they got on airplanes, right?
Yeah.
That when they go down, they find them. Well, you know, they got the black box to that ship, you know. And did you hear that there's 2 minutes missing off of that black box of recordings?
On what now?
On the ship.
Okay, now you're not doing an April Fool, right?
No, this is absolute truth.
There's a 2 minute on the black box in the ship. Wow,
that's a warning.
Very interesting.
The recording was shut off. Now you tell me what was going on there, buddy. I'm sorry, those black boxes do not get shut off. They're supposed to constantly listen. When a plane crashes, they still record underwater.
Yeah, they do. Okay, Andrew, do you think that there was an intentional?
Yes.
Hitting of that bridge?
Yes.
You do?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Paul, okay. It's going to cripple. It's going to hurt our economy big time.
Yeah.
That's the biggest port for automotives coming into this country.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you tell me what these 2 minutes missing on that recorder are. I'm sorry. They do not shut off.
I haven't seen the 2 minutes. I'm going to look for it, though.
Yeah, but my theory is if this were a terrorist attack, it would have been done during the day.
Right.
When the bridge was full of people.
No, because they weren't trying to kill people. They're trying to kill our economy. Killing the people ain't going to do nothing. Killing the economy is going to hurt great. 10 times more, buddy.
The American auto industry that it's going to affect, or the foreign auto industry?
Okay, I'm looking for the story. Now, I haven't seen it yet. May I ask you, Andrew, where you heard about the 2 minute...
Fox News.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right.
Right on Fox News.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that does make me wonder. Here's another thing, guys. Why didn't they have tugboats escorting that ship through that bridge area?
Well,
why don't they have tugboats at any point escorting those kinds of ships through?
Well, they got these captains that guide them into the ports, you know, port captains that know
pirates. But that doesn't matter.
Area.
They should have tugboats just for security.
I'm just thinking, why they don't have tugboats, yes, exactly, for any of these things near a bridge like that.
Yeah,
I mean, of course, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but...
Research that one, buddy. And what else? I mean, it's an active show today. What do you think about Kathy Hochul and the mayor of New York getting tossed at the funeral for that police officer?
There you go.
Glad you brought that up, because to me, when I saw that, because I remember on the show Friday, I said, this is something that could really, really hit home with people with what they're doing, having a party down the street. And the fact that she was told not to show up, showed up anyway, and then a representative goes out there and basically tells her to pack her stuff up and get out and leave.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to speak. You don't do that. I mean, if you want it's a public thing or whatever, do it. But a private situation and you specifically are told to stay out.
Do you think that she knew that this was going to happen and she wanted it anyway so that she could use it as...
I don't think so. She made herself look bad. Why would she make herself... that?
They had to realize, though, that there would be some trouble if she showed up, wouldn't they?
Well, maybe it's amazing. Could be a sign of New York turning red.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly what it is, because the police department up there, there will not be one solitary policeman, fireman, even voting Democrat. And I got news for you. They're going to spread the word. Yeah. And the people are seeing it right in front of them. They've had enough. She's disgusting.
Yeah, these major cities and their relationship with police, this has really exploded in their faces with trying to defund police with all of this going on now. You would think that a lot of Democrats, you know, voters, would finally wake up and say, this is crazy. Defunding up the police? We need these police in our neighborhoods. We need they've had our back all of these years.
I don't think he's said the officer's name yet, has he? Meaning Joe Biden?
I don't think so.
How many times did he say George Floyd?
I know, but he doesn't even know the name of the officer, I bet.
He could care less. That's what I believe. The Democrats could care less about the police departments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or the military, for that matter.
I tell you what, they raised $25 million at their fundraiser, and you know what? That $25 million isn't going to do nothing for the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
People are fed up with them. They're fed up with their lives. They're fed up with them destroying this country, and they're fed up with them having no respect for the American citizens.
Yeah.
But yet, how does it say, in our paper yesterday, they were saying that Biden is ahead of Trump now? How can
that
possibly be?
Well, it depends. You know what? It depends on which poll you look at. Overall, Trump is still ahead, I think. But, you know, it's very close. It's never been like Trump's ahead by 25 points or anything.
No,
but I'll tell you what. By the time of the election coming around, it will be.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe with what's going on in the world situation, our economy, our country with the lawlessness, how anybody could be voting for a Democrat.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
I know, but it's true. These off-year elections show that you cannot take this election coming up for granted. You cannot.
By the way, get out and vote.
Yeah. I want to get your thoughts, guys, on Donald Trump was asked about the president of Mexico, Lopez Obrador, who was interviewed on 60 Minutes. Obrador said, "We will not shut down our border until you," meaning the United States, "changes your policy on Cuba and changes your policy on Venezuela."
The hell does Cuba have to do with it?
I know, but this is the president of Mexico who's been slapping Biden around a little bit. So Trump went on Fox News and he said, well, the Mexican president said much more than that. He said he wants $10 billion, essentially, just to talk. $10 billion to talk, and that's come out since. And no, that would not happen with me, with the wall. Trump went on to say, lack of respect for President Biden. They would never say that to me. They would never say before we even talk, they want $10 billion a year. But Trump claims that Mexico wants $10 billion from Biden to help him with the border situation.
Why not throw the check for dinner in there, too?
I know. But there is no respect for Biden. I mean, nobody around. He's not getting along with Netanyahu, by the way. That's another problem.
Because he'll do anything but put a wall up or pay for the wall. He'll do anything but that. Anything that resembles a wall, he doesn't want any part of.
Right.
He's got to be sympathetic with Cubans and Venezuela.
I mean, he's completely lost everybody's respect. He's lost, he's lost his relationship with Netanyahu. He's lost his relationship with the president of Mexico. He doesn't have a relationship, I don't think, with anybody of any standing in any country. Go ahead, Paul, Andrew.
He lost his respect with the American people by not attending their funeral when President Trump did.
Yeah.
President Trump, he reached out to the American people by going there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, that's showing the people right there the respect. Trump is earning the American people's respect, where Biden is losing the American people's respect, along with Obama and Bill Clinton and the whole Democrat Party.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. Of course, we see what's going on, and yet there is that hardcore nucleus of people in this country that no matter how bad Biden is, they don't want to vote for Donald Trump because they just...
Well, you know, Paul, they'll find out when there's a terrorist attack in this country, which is going to be bound to happen eventually here with an army of 100,000 at least in this country with the illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Once that hits again, you're going to see the respect change. These are the first people that are going to be running and hiding with their head between their legs, the first ones, believe me.
Yeah, and as the FBI director, Christopher Wray, said, it's not a question of if we're going to be attacked at some point, it's a question of when it'll happen. And that's the FBI director saying that. That's a scary scenario. Very scary.
I just don't understand why people just don't like Donald Trump. I know that, you know, you can't be like...
Because you and I can separate his personality, Angelo, from what he has done. Because we see what he has done, and we can see that he, you know, he'll intimidate people, and he'll say some things about people. And we see his personality, and we accept it. There are these other people that, for some reason, you know, they just... Because they don't like the way he comports himself...
Well, it's not only that. How many times have you seen
a large number of people?
You've seen a reporter go out and a bunch of Biden people or whatever, and they go up and ask him, would you ever vote for Trump? And they say, absolutely not. And they ask him why. And their answer is, well, don't you watch the news?
Yeah.
That's it right there. Unrealistic.
All the stuff that he's been accused of. And he's been convicted of absolutely nothing.
Right. And they believe this stuff. I mean... It's unbelievable. Are the American people that gullible?
I think they're that ignorant.
Well, because they... I don't know.
I actually do.
Because ignorance is part of it.
If they looked at what he did with taxes, he lowered taxes across the board. And people, for some reason, thought he didn't lower taxes.
Well,
he was busy doing things... You know, he was building a wall. He went over to Jerusalem. He was making nice with... some of the leaders of the world, you know, going around. The guy was always on the move. Always on the move, trying to do things. And they have a blind spot about the guy because they don't like the way he acts or something.
Or his mean tweets, or he's a bully, or he's a bully.
That's what I mean.
You know?
That's what I mean. They can't separate.
Well,
the dislike of his personality.
Look at how he made peace. Make it into military through basic military training. Because they build this strength up in you not to be intimidated. So half the American people would never make it through military basic training.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it.
And the other totally stupid thing I hear is, oh, if Trump gets in office, he's going to get rid of all the gays and all that.
Right. Oh, come on.
They
just got to tell him that Donald Trump is not a Muslim. He's not throwing him off the rooftops.
No, that's right.
They'll get that clear. But, you know, Donald Trump was making peace with Kim Jong-un. Look at
I know, that's what I'm saying.
He was the first president. Oh, he went and talked to the communists. Can you believe he did that?
And I don't think Putin did any invasions while Donald Trump was president either.
What's wrong
Nothing was going on. We were settling things down with Trump.
What's wrong with keeping peace? He didn't give him any gifts, did he? Did he give him any gifts?
No, he didn't.
No, what did Biden give
Iran? Not suitcases of
money. Billions of dollars.
Yeah. Both Biden and Obama.
Remember Obama?
Yeah.
Don't cross the red line or whatever in the sand?
Yep.
What happened?
You're right. Well, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure, and I'm so glad, Andrew, that you can unpadlock your door and that the landlord is nice enough to allow you to
stay. By the way, I must confess that I pulled in and said, I think you should do it. I told Andrew, I think you should pull one on Paul here.
Okay.
Yeah, you got me.
I'm going to get you guys.
Have a good day, Andrew, guys.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Angelo.
Right. You're welcome. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, guys. All right. Never again. Never again. Take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 countries with the highest rate of suicide.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For the final segment of Freedom Works, thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network, and we're always happy when you find time to listen. However, if you are busy during that period of time, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website anytime, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and Ed's got all our shows on podcast. Click on the podcast button. It'll open up. You'll see the most recent shows at the top. You'll see who the guest is and the top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, before we get into our top 10, baseball's going on. We got the college basketball tournament going on. I'm sad to tell you that Marquette got eliminated. Mm. They made the Sweet 16, and then North Carolina State beat them. Mm. And North Carolina State is going on to join Connecticut, Alabama, and Purdue in the Final Four.
Mm.
So there you go. That'll be next weekend. Anything on the baseball?
The Rays had a four-game series against the Blue Jays at home, and they split it 2-2.
Oh, okay.
So attendance was very good over the whole week.
Was it good?
Thursday
for the very first weekend?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So.
Good. Glad to
now
hear.
Now they're home for another three games against the Texas Rangers.
I see. Does that start tomorrow?
Starts tonight.
Tonight. Yeah. Texas Rangers. All right. Thank you. All right, Ed. Time for our top 10. These are the top 10 countries with the highest suicide rates. This is according to World Population Review. I think the numbers that are coming in here are probably a couple of years old, but they're the most recent that I could find. So without further ado, here we go. Number 10, South Africa, which surprised me a little bit. The country of South Africa, 23.5 per 100,000 people suicide rate. 23.5. Number 9. This does not surprise me. I am surprised they publish it. Russia is number 9. I shouldn't laugh. 25.1 suicides per 100,000 people. Number 8. Suriname. It's one of those little countries. Must be a poor country. I'm sure it is. 25.4. Number 7. This one kind of surprised me as well, but this is near Russia. Lithuania. Lithuania. That's 26.1 suicides per 100,000. Number 6. Micronesia. It's a little island way over in the east, but 28.2. Number 5. I'm not sure where this is. Kiribati. Kiribati, Kiribati, 28.3 per 100,000. Number four kind of surprised me a little bit, but then the more I thought about it, it didn't. South Korea. Just being next to being next across the street from North Korea would make me depressed. They've got a 28.6 per 100,000 people. Now, North Korea doesn't give you numbers.
Of course not. Everything's peachy over there.
Everything's great. Number 3. Here's another one. I'm not sure. Eswatini. Eswatini. These little countries. Maybe because they don't get much recognition. Anyway, 29.4 people per 100,000. Number 2. Guyana. Now, there used to be British Guyana, French Guyana, et cetera, et cetera. But listen to this, where Eswatini was at 29.4, number 2 Guyana, that's all right, number 2 Guyana is at 40.3, that's an awfully high number.
Yeah.
You're never going to guess, I can tell you that right now, because I wouldn't even have known of this country yet. Interestingly, it used to be that some of the countries like Japan used to have a high number, and Sweden used to have a high number, but they have not made this list this time around. Number 1 is Lesotho. Lesotho. And listen to the number per 100,000, where Guyana at number 2 was 40.3 per 100,000. Lesotho is 72.4. Wow. It's almost twice
Jeez,
as
what's
much.
What's going on over there?
Things must be bad there. Don't go there on a trip. Don't go there on a trip. But that's an awfully high number, 72.4. Anyway, there you go. Thank you so much for being with us. Hope you have a great day. Be careful out there. We'll be back Wednesday. And remember, freedom works.